You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome everyone once again to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm your host, Shane Stetsny, and I'm joined by the other host, Brent Smith. Brent, any reactions from Antigo?
I mean, there's a lot of reactions, Shane. I mean, the race weekend was amazing. There's a lot of great racing, a lot of good fans, a big group of fans to be exact. I mean, we haven't seen fans in a long time, and to bring Champ Off-Road to Antigo and to put it in a small bullring track, it was amazing. We've seen a lot of great racing, like I said. I mean, all the way from down to our kids' carts to the Pro 2s. I mean, Keegan Kincaid, he looks to be the guy to beat right now going into Crandon, and you have a lot of heavy hitters in the Pro 2 division as well, and all the sportsmen, which are just fun-filled, as you know, Shane.
Yeah, and the entry list for Crandon this weekend, same story, completely full fields. We're even going to see a couple extra Pro 4s, including, you know, the reigning king of Crandon, RJ Anderson. So Pro 4 is going to be an absolute barn burner both days as well.
Yeah, RJ Anderson, he's always ready to bring it all to the table. And then you throw in CJ Greaves, Johnny Greaves. I mean, Adrian Chenny really showing some speed. And, I mean, Andrew Carlson, another heavy hitter. I mean, when we talk 10, 11, 12 Pro 4s, that's what people come to see. We know that, Shane. And I think Crandon's going to give you a little taste what the rest of the season's going to be like.
Yeah, and a complete change of gears, too. You talked about Antigo being that bullring track. Now we go back to, the complete opposite. Wide open, full speed, 100-plus miles an hour into Turn 1 for the Pro 2s and Pro 4s. So maybe a different group of drivers find their way to the front, too.
Yeah, and it's all about who can hold that pedal wide open in Turn 1 and get through there clean. And I mean, you have to have a big motor program. You have to have smarts. I mean, everyone knows that there's no I in team, but there is in winter, like everyone likes to say. I mean, you have to be prepared. You really have to put your head on straight, get your gear ratio. You're going from that tight track, like you said, now to wide open Crandon. And I mean, I've raced there many of times, but in the pros, in the sportsman divisions, you're talking biggest numbers we've ever seen in a long, long time. And I mean, you're talking 30 cars and buggies. You're talking 12, 15 trucks in the pro divisions. I mean, you really have to be smart coming into Turn 1 if you want to win that race. But it's Crandon. Everyone wants to win at Crandon. I don't care who you are. Every time you go to Crandon, you want to win.
Not only full fields, but after quite a few guys that we're used to seeing run up front had kind of lousy weekends at Antigo. And I'm talking first and foremost about Kyle Aduke, who had two DNFs. He was scored fifth both days. His worst finish last year was fourth. And the race that he finished fourth was after he all but had the points chase wrapped up last year. So I'm looking for him to rebound along with a whole bunch of other guys. I mean, Kyle Chaney won in round two of Pro Mod, but round one, he finished dead last, dropped out of the race early. So again, looking for him to bounce back too. That'll be a story that we'll keep an eye on this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to watch. I mean, in every class, anyone can win at any given time, especially in Pro Mod. You go to Pro Stock, even Sportsman side by side. It's all good fun. And whoever comes ready to play is going to win. And luck is a big thing, and you have to have a lot of luck. Don't get me wrong, but you come to Crandon, you better be ready to put the pedal down and take over, because you know everyone's going for that W. I don't care if it's the fall for all the money. I mean, I'm talking, this Crandon's going to be big. We've seen the biggest numbers at Antigo, like we keep talking about, but I mean, it helped out the community. It helped out a lot of different things, and that's what people really need to look at.
You're absolutely right, Brent. And as we look ahead to Crandon in rounds 3 and 4 this weekend, why don't we welcome our first guest to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. From Pro 2, it's Corey Winter. Corey, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We know it's the middle of a busy week for you with Crandon just a couple days away.
Oh, thank you guys. Happy to be on here.
So before we talk about this year and all the challenges that you're going to face in a crazy Pro 2 field, I want to go back to last year. So the first race weekend of last year, you actually broke your back. And I just want to know, was it tough to get back in driving shape, you know, as an athlete again? And was it also tough to get back in the right headspace to go back out and compete?
Yeah, I think it was more of the mental state, especially coming back. And my first race came back with Crandon. That whole weekend in itself is a big ordeal, and it's Crandon, so anything can happen all the time. So that's definitely in the back of your head already. And especially hitting practice the first time, just thinking, especially off that Polaris Razor jump, it was definitely there. I'm like, man, I hope I don't feel anything off this landing when I jump. So definitely eased into it in practice, and then about third practice round and qualifying, I was pretty much back to normal. And I, not so much the driving ability wasn't there. It was mostly mental, trying to get myself comfortable again.
Hey, Corey, what's up? It's Brent here.
Hey, Brent. How's it going?
Good, bud. And you talk about it's a lot of mental. I mean, speaking of mental, we're going into 2021 here, and there's 8 to 10 guys that can win pretty much at any given time. I'm like, what do you do to make sure you're ready for the rest of the season and to come out on top? I mean, guys like Kyle Kleiman all the way to Mickey Thomas, now Brian Deegan in the field. I mean, that's a lot to handle.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely saw 20 trucks or so at Antigo. So, you know, we were lucky enough to run fourth and fifth, I think, was our finishing positions. And we had some really good lap times on Sunday. So, you know, me, I'm really hands-on when it comes to the race weekends and everything. And I try not to get myself like wound up or overthink everything when I have like a bad practice session or a qualifying or what may have you. So, really just like keeping your composure is a big thing. And yeah, like you said, there's 8 to 10 trucks that can win any given weekend. And, you know, we're still searching for our first win, but we've been knocking on the door of podiums here and there. So, but to go to Antigo and get that kind of result against that field, really gave me a confidence booster going in, because it was in the back of my head. I was just like, oh man, there's so many trucks here and everybody's super competitive. I hope we can hold our own, and we did. So really looking forward to the rest of the season and see what we got for these guys. And we just try to make strides every time we're on the track, and I think we made changes every time where we hit the dirt in Antigo and every time we got faster. So just trying different things and working with your sponsors and supporters and see if they can help you get to that next level.
So coming out of Antigo, like you said, you had 2 top 5 finishes. That actually, you kind of survived the weekend a lot better than most of the rest of the guys in the Pro 2 field. So looking ahead to Crandon that you've already got a ton of laps on, does that give you a whole bunch of optimism that you can, you know, push ahead a couple more spots?
Yeah, I think so, especially with the qualifying thing they did this year. I know it's not going to make everybody happy, but for the guys that raced last year, we were fortunate enough to get a better starting position. But they did away with that at Antigo, obviously. They made one of your practice rounds qualifying. But lucky for us, we'll, with Land Rush, with that inversion, I think they invert 4 to 10 or something. So I think we still sit in a pretty decent spot. And like you said, having been there in the past, and especially last year, we showed a lot of speed in that truck on Labor Day weekend, and even the weekend after, I think we finished on the podium too. So definitely that kind of track, like you said, we survived Antigo. That was a super tight course with that many vehicles on it, and granted, like we all know, is wide open, and if you can get through the start, you just got to work your way through everybody, and there's plenty of room and high speed track. So two different tracks for sure, and I think this one will suit us a little better, I think.
I've been watching you for the past 3-4 years, like pretty much full time. Every time you get in the car, you're a heck of a race car driver. It's just a lot of luck on the driver's side, if you ask me. I mean, I've been racing my whole life, and people just don't grasp it. I try to explain it to my girlfriend, I try to explain it to the parents, and like, oh, what happened today? Oh, this went wrong. Like, you have to make sure every nut and bolt and everything is tight, and make sure your whole team's on the same page. Otherwise, to even get a win at Crandon's not even going to be a shot if you don't do any of that.
Yeah, I know for sure. I appreciate the kind words. You know, we try our best, and we got a little group of guys behind us, but a great team. And we go through the thing with a fine tooth every time and before it hits the track. And I think that's kind of showing our results in the past. So If we can keep that up, I think we'll get the momentum going and hopefully find the top of the box this year. And I don't know. Kind of excited.
So I have a question that's a little bit less on topic, but so you're from California, but you've been coming to race with us in the Midwest, you know, off and on the last close to 5 years now, I think. And I know that you were looking at buying a home in Wisconsin over this off season. I know that for a fact because I tried selling you my parents' house. So is it just the proximity to racing that's attracting you to the Midwest, or is there, you know, something more here that makes you want to move this way?
Both, I think, because I think we see ourselves here kind of long-term with the racing thing. So that definitely helps. And then, you know, we've sold, I think we had a mountain house at home we sold and all this and a bunch of other stuff. So just, like even like a vacation place would be nice back here. I love it back here. I think you guys know I spent the last, gosh, what was it, 19? I spent that whole winter and then into last year I was there, and then I spent the whole time because of coronavirus and never went back home. So I spent all of last year here, and I think I'm going to do the same thing again. I don't think I'm going to leave till Labor Day. But actually, no, I have my girlfriend's from Lena, actually. So that's been about 8 months now. So, you know, I never know if hopefully that keeps going. So I might have to move back there. We'll see. I love it back here. People, everything, it's a little different from California, but I mean, people are nice and there's a lot to do out here too. So, different for us, but I enjoy it.
So Corey, winding through this, talking about the season and everything, like, is there any goals you lay out to start the year? I know it was trying to get better and get your mental thoughts back in a happy place so you could run hard. But I mean, from here on out, like, do you believe that your team could win the overall championship?
I do, and I think getting it may not be the best results race to race. First and foremost, my goal is to at least win one race this year, because I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is in that field, and I haven't got any better than second place in Pro 2, and so that's the only next step up. So that's what I want to do this year. Yeah, and I think if you have consistent finishes, like top five, like we did in Antigo, and maybe a little better here and there, and like you said, luck will play itself out too, but I think a lot of consistency will get you within that range, and I think we're capable of doing that.
Well, good luck to everybody, and especially you and your team. It's awesome that you came on the podcast, and Shane and I are going to try to catch up with everyone. We want to hear everybody's story. We want to hear what goes on. And I mean, it's a lot of work no matter what. I mean, it's hard enough just to keep sponsors happy and then just to make it to the racetrack week in and week out. Now we have numbers. We got to keep it going.
Yep. That's for sure. It's looking good so far. So no, I thank you guys for doing all this.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot. Good luck this weekend. We'll catch up with you.
Thank you guys.
All right, and with that, before we move on to our next guest here on the Champ Off-Road Podcast, how about a quick word from our beloved sponsor, Amsoil? Brent.
Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit amsoil.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast, free shipping right to your door. Amsoil, run with us.
All right, now we will welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil, Chris Vanden Elzen from Super Buggy. Chris, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you guys doing this.
All right, Chris, how's it going, buddy?
Good, not bad. Literally just got done packing all the cars up for Trandon this upcoming weekend, and now just getting everything kind of sorted at home and ready to go. So I'm pretty excited for the upcoming weekend.
So a lot of maintenance, a lot of prep from Antigo. I mean, I know with the trucks and the different classes throughout Champ Off-Road, you do like gear changes, motor swaps. Like for you guys, what does it take to get ready for a big track after such a small track?
I would say the biggest thing is obviously Crandon high speed, a lot of things going on. Just basic maintenance, going through everything, every little CV, take everything apart, go through it, through every bolt, you name it. As for higher speed, stuff of that nature, kind of look at gearing and what tire size we want to run for it, or what, you know, what tire width and compound we're thinking. You know, is it going to be a muddy race? Is it going to be a dry race? And kind of think of, you know, different scenarios and I guess really get ready for it that way. Aside for gearing and things like that, we both run, my dad and I both run a 5-speed transmission. So, we don't really have a short track or long track transmission or swap any gearing out in that manner. So it's kind of, tire size and just basic maintenance.
So Chris said, Shane has a lot of great notes. He was saying that you come from drifting. So, I mean, you're talking off-roads to drifting. I'm like, does that really coincide with one another?
It's so different, but at the same time, there are a lot of similarities. Drifting, surprisingly enough, you are looking for the most amount of grip you can when you're sideways. I guess you can apply that to our class. Super buggy, pro buggy, whatever you want to call it. It's very similar in drifting in that aspect. As for other classes, light buggy 1600, you don't really have the power to slide around a corner, or you're not using the power nearly as much to steer, as where our class, it's a lot more, your throttle is essentially your steering. And, that's very similar in terms of drifting. Drifting is a lot more style, the more sideways you can get it, the better.
Right.
Racing application for that, it's, pretty impractical. So the more forward bite you get, the more grip you have. It's a lot more, it's a lot better that way.
So since you've gotten back into off-road racing, I should say, and your dad has come back to off-road racing alongside you, you guys are two of the most innovative car builders in Super Buggy, which is already a super innovative class. And, you know, he ran that natural gas-powered truck in the early 90s, and now you guys are trying some really far-out ideas on your race cars. Where does that desire to be innovative come from?
Man, I could put that all the way back to my grandpa. I mean, he was always somebody that was out doing weird things, experimenting, making things go fast that shouldn't go fast. He was one of the first guys that kind of went back to, starting snowcross or snowmobile racing in the Midwest as well. So, from there, just kind of trickled down the family line. And, you know, like you said, my dad had the 7S that was, natural gas powered, and then my whole life I've always liked weird different cars. I don't think I was born without a wrench in my hand, so it's always been doing weird different innovative things, I guess, really.
Yeah, that's so awesome, Chris, and how far you've brought the class. It's so cool to tell which buggies are yours every time they come out. They're always different in shape and how wide and the stance of them. It's very cool. Like Shane said, the innovation that you guys have taken to the next level. And I mean, what's your plan, say, for the next 5 years?
Well, A, definitely appreciate the compliments. B, plans for the next 5 years, as much as I love the class and love innovating and doing other things, I definitely like to look into moving into something else eventually here. Not 100% positive as to what yet, but, or when. But right now, the class that I'm in, phenomenal class, amazing drivers. I mean, every time you're on the track, you're stepping up your driving ability even more. I mean, it's cool too, because you get to race with some of the greatest names in off-road racing. I mean, buggy guy or not a buggy guy, I mean, there are some phenomenal names and history in the class. So just being around those drivers and being able to compete with them is a great feeling. So 5 years down the line, I have no idea. I'd like to be in the class.
Throw that out there.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm in no hurry to get out yet, but at the same time, if an opportunity arises, an opportunity arises. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. One thing that's evident in, you know, how much you guys have innovated and tried different things is that you're starting to find some success. You landed on the podium with a second place finish in Antigo. Now looking ahead, we're going to Crandon, where you've already got a bunch of laps, even going back to light buggy. Are you optimistic that, you know, your first super buggy win is around the corner?
Yeah. It's funny to think that, actually. You know, last year, my goal was to try and finish every race, you know, just because it's been such a developmental process for doing all these weird different things, you know. So this year, looking back on the past year, you know, there's a lot of positives to it. And then this year, now it's kind of, let's try and push for a podium. Let's try and push for a win. You know, if it falls into place and we're shooting for a championship, that's phenomenal. But it's, you know, it's hard to say. You know, it's racing. So, I mean, you can plan, you can do everything you want, and you can spend all the money you want. But in the end of it all, it does come down to luck at times. I would definitely love to win. Definitely love to go for the championship. But, man, there's some heavy hitters in the class, so it's not an easy task to do.
Not to add to the pressure, but I know you want your first win before Mike Hester gets number 100, right?
Hey, I've never said that one. I would gladly welcome Hester getting his 100, but hey, if he has to work a little bit harder for it, I'm all right with that.
So looking ahead to Crandon for the first time here in 2021, you're a second generation driver, and you've, just like both Brent and myself, you kind of grew up at racetracks. So do you have treasured Crandon memories from long ago, or even from, you know, from your racing career?
Yeah, I would say long ago when I was, I mean, it was always a family thing, no matter what. My dad was racing, and I mean, I was born on Brush Run weekend, so actually this upcoming this Friday is actually my birthday, so I get to celebrate my birthday at the track again, which is a pretty cool thing to have. So yeah, I guess I was literally born into racing. My dad went to the race when my mom was in labor and finished and came back, and I was born. So that's kind of the funny going thing in the family, that my dad left my mom for racing. Or I shouldn't say left my mom, left to go race and come back, and I was born. Aside from that, you know, I think one of the coolest things I ever remember was going over to Walker Evans Pits when I was, I don't even know how old I was at this point. And we had a hat and I think I had a checkered flag as well that we brought over there with my brother and I. And just to remember my dad, you know, knowing Walker Evans firsthand and being able to chat with him and things like that, it was just so cool. And that stuck with me forever, that he was just a genuine, honest guy that was excited to sign a kid's hat and flag and, you know, have a conversation with him. Going back to the 50th, we got to catch up with him, and I thought that was just so cool to be able to go there and talk with him. You know, Crandon is like the staple of off-road. So I have many memories, but I would say those are definitely some of the biggest memories there.
So Chris, heading into the Crandon weekend, I know the season's long yet. I mean, you thinking like focusing on those point championships, or are you just, your goals are to get on that podium every time and let the championship come to you guys?
Obviously, I would always love to get on podium every race. That, you know, that's every racer wants to be on the box and get to kind of share that moment. But, you know, honestly, championship is a pretty cool thing to shoot for as well. So whether it be, you know, die hard, I got to get on the podium, checkers or records, or going for the championship, I'd kind of prefer, you know, going for the championship. But the, you know, if a podium happens every race, podium happens every race. And we'll kind of play the cards in that way as well.
You did talk quite a bit about, you know, you're racing alongside your dad and that it's a family sport. But I know that there's more than just your dad that's part of the racing family. So I'll kind of give you the floor here. I'm setting you up for something kind of obvious, but there's other people that you need to thank too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
She would be upset with me if I didn't give you the chance. So the floor is yours.
So... yeah, I am very fortunate that I have a supportive wife when it comes to all of this. She is, if it's not planning, you know, the race weekend, it's how do I get better? She's also my spotter, you know. She wants to spot for the most people she can to try and get as much experience and just better herself to help me be a better driver, better competitor, which is phenomenal. Aside from that, she's kind of, you know, it's nice. Every racer you talk to, I should say, you know, that's married, has a significant other. They understand how important it is to have a backbone, you know, a stronghold when it comes right. to off-road racing. So yeah, my wife is definitely a massive supporter. On top of that, you know, my mom's always around because I'm racing with my dad, and then I also have my brother and sister-in-law, and their kids are always around. So yeah, it really is a family thing. But on a personal relationship, personal level, I can't thank my wife enough. Yeah, she's amazing, and she gets to tell me what to do on the racetrack. So, you know, I think a lot of significant others enjoy being able to do that. So if you can, try to give it a run.
No, that's so awesome that it's a family sport. And that's why I think I loved it. And Shane has loved it for so long. We've been going there since we were kids as well. And to have not only the camaraderie, but the family, just if you need a part, if you need help, I've seen so many times over the years crew members helping each other, and I know you guys have helped a lot in the past, and that's what's so cool is to see our sport as a whole. I mean, yeah, we're all competitors, we're all really there to win, but at the end of the day, we're all one big happy family.
Maybe not a happy family, but at least we're all a family, if nothing else.
More dysfunctional than anything. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the sport in general, I mean, if you're not trying to grow the sport, if you're not trying to help people out into the sport and get into different classes, get into different things, or, you know, lend a hand, lend a welder, lend a part, whatever you can do, or if it's just a matter of going over and somebody's asking for advice, you know, it's simple things like that. I think it's so important, and it could be your fiercest competitor, but you know, you want them on the track because not only do you get to expand the sport that way, but you also get to have a good competitor that you can, that you have out on the track at all times.
Right, right. It pushes you to be a better driver as well.
Well, Chris, we don't want to take up too much of your time. We, again, appreciate you very, very much. We understand that the week leading up to the race is a very busy week for everybody. So again, appreciate your time, and best of luck to you this weekend in Crandon. And I will for sure catch up with you this weekend at the track.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys very much. And yeah, I'll see you in a couple days.
All right. Good luck, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again to both of our guests who joined us this time on the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. Once again, that was Corey Winter from Pro 2 and Chris Vanden Elzen from Super Buggy. So again, we appreciate those guys taking time out of their busy Crandon week schedules. And Brent, nothing left to do now but show up in Crandon. What are you excited for this weekend?
There's a lot to be excited for. To be back at the big house once again. I've been going there for a long, long time. But to see the truck count, the car counts, the people, the crowds are going to be huge. I just can't wait for everything. I mean, the Pro 2 is the Pro 4 is the big cup race at the end of the weekend. But more than less, we're going to be back at Crandon once again. And there's going to be a lot of fighting going on, if you ask me, on the track, because I couldn't tell you who's going to win. We've talked to a lot of great drivers so far this year. Chris Vanden Elzen now. And, I mean, all the way down to Zach Schimmick in our beginning parts of our podcast, like, they're ready to do battle. There's a lot to earn, a lot of respect to go into 2022, and I guarantee you there's going to be some new champions this year.
Brent, the one thing I'm most excited for at Crandon, it's a track feature that no other track on the Champ Off-Road Tour has, and that's a land rush start. Oh, I'm excited to see 20 yes. Pro 2s, 20 plus super stocks flying down that straightaway into turn one, fighting for every inch. I can't wait.
Well, absolutely, and me and you will be in the TV booth, but at the same time, we can hear the rumble going by and kind of just pinch yourself to realize, oh my gosh, all 20, 25 trucks have to make it through that, 25, maybe 20 trucks width going in, and on exit, maybe three trucks. Yeah, hopefully nobody goes into the other parts of the track in the gravel pit.
Another thing I'm going to keep an eye on, too, is if you remember that the second Crandon weekend late last September, Pro 4 got a little bit dicey in that mud race. A lot of drama, a lot of contact. I'm looking forward to that again, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Crandon always brings some great racing, and coming from Antigo, we've seen nothing short of but great racing, and I can't imagine. Wide open, 100-plus miles an hour. I remember last year in the fall at Crandon, Kyle Duke was recorded at like 115, 116 in turn one. That is flat-out flying.
You're absolutely right, Brent. High speeds and high excitement. We'll be coming to you live from Crandon in just a couple days. Don't forget, if you want to watch our live stream, champoffroad.com/livestream. You can see all the great racing action all weekend long, and you can also see us on the Flow Sports app. If you're a subscriber to Flow Sports, you can watch all our races all season long. And with that, we'll sign off. I'm Shane Stetsny for Brent Smith. Thanks again to our two guests, and we'll talk to you again soon from Crandon, the Big House, coming up this weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL.